Get ready to go Super Saiyan all over the place with Resurrection F.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
Yeah!
Dude, that was the best music in the movie. It was. I'm really excited about this.
It really makes me want to flip everything. Welcome to Otaku Movie Anatomy. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube and on the Twitters, and follow us on the everything else. So yeah, that music was way too high for that intro. I'm your host, Max Saw, and with me is my usual mates of debauchery.
Where can we find you online, Max?
You can find me at Max Salts, because I'm salty about everything right now, and I'm quite validated in my saltiness.
We should all change our names.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere online at Yuma Ninja.
Hi, I'm Michelle Chubby Bunny. I haven't been around for a while, because I was away.
Welcome back.
Out of myself. You can find me everywhere on the internet at I Am Chubby Bunny.
All right, so if Doc is watching, thanks for not coming, you son of a bitch.
We're going to call you out, Doc.
But we were going to do Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F for Doc, one of our previous guests, because, you know, like, he was the one person on this panel, besides every other people that we've had so far, that actually knows anything about Dragon Ball.
He
decided to leave me, and now I'm back into the vast emptiness of no Dragon Ball Z knowledge.
To be fair, on this show, we've already covered... What was it? Dragon Ball Z?
Battle of the Gods.
Battle of the Gods. Yeah. Which was a filler episode to just set up for this movie.
You know, there's a history behind it. All right. So Battle of the Gods, basically, the one that we reviewed before, and we didn't exactly review it in... We didn't give it the best light, let's just say. And not because we didn't want to.
It was fun, though. It was a fun, like, little episode that happened to be movie length.
Yeah, but it was basically supposed to be the sequel for Dragon Ball Z. So, you know, it's like, well, what's everyone doing? You know, and Goku eventually ends up becoming a radish farmer. You know, everyone got weird different hairstyles and got super boring. Vegeta started wearing Hawaiian shirts and becoming a real guy. Number one, getting that dad bod.
Yeah.
So this is probably the first movie that when everyone saw Battle of the Gods, we're like, I guess I like it because I like Dragon Ball, but I don't really feel like it's a Dragon Ball Z movie. This is the pinnacle of what Dragon Ball Z movies are, from my experience, especially from my childhood, because there's been a ton of movies. This is the 19th movie in the series.
Yes, I mean, I haven't seen that much Dragon Ball, but it's, to me, it had the like, little quips and the little, like, the kind of weird beats that the series had. So I actually kind of enjoyed this movie, even though I don't know a lot about the Dragon Ball Z franchise.
Yeah. So I just want to apologize to everybody out there because I know that I've seen Dragon Ball before, but I feel like this is going to be a whole, like, explain to me like I'm five, because I don't feel like anything sunk in from last time, and I was, like, really confused.
What a dick.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
To be fair, if you haven't watched Dragon Ball Z, if you haven't watched through Dragon Ball Z, or if you have, whoa, what was that?
That's your phone,
your phone is too close to the thing.
What? That does that? Wow.
Where
I just
have you
learned
been for
something.
The last year?
I didn't know about science and stuff. But this is... I totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Dragon Ball Z.
So if you haven't seen Dragon Ball Z, the whole series, or if you haven't seen the original Dragon Ball, you'd be very lost, because there's so many episodes of Dragon Ball Z that go through, you know, Gohan's journey as Goku being, like, the father of one child and then having two children, and then there being the whole thing with the Boo and the Majin. And
that Boo.
Yeah, and so it's like... It's hard because they never really established this world of gods. You know that there are gods because the god of the underworld, which is the dude with the glasses that looks like a bug and is blue. Do you have any clue what I'm talking about? No? Okay.
I kind of do. You know, the problem is that, like, because I have brothers who like this, and because I've known so many other dudes who love this, I kind of know the characters and I can, like, pick them out on the lineup, but then I have no idea what the correlation between any of them are.
The thing is, in this movie, so I, again, I haven't seen a ton of Dragon Ball, so I was like, wow, there's so many characters fighting for justice. But the thing is, you don't, if you just brush past the fact that they exist, you don't really, you kind of like, okay, you're all good guys, you all know each other. That's kind of all you need to know, because they're just there to set up the fight for Goku and Vegeta.
They're basically, like, in the series, like, Tenjin. What is his name? I don't know why the hell
don't ask us, buddy.
Tien. So, like, there are other characters, like Tien and stuff, that, like, are good fighters, but they've never been to the point of, like, being actual characters, it feels like. Because in the beginning in Dragon Ball, like, he runs into them and, like, he gets stronger. But then once you get into Super Saiyan territory, it's just, like, all over. And so this movie, though, you know, the other god mode that he had when Goku had from the previous movie was an introduction for that. Uh-huh. And so now it just gets into ridiculous land territory because, you know, the
everyone's way too OP to fight each other. Like,
Beerus, the Destroyer, is just a god. Right. Is just the straight up god of just destroying
but
stuff.
But at least they've established that he is more powerful than Goku and Vegeta. What am I saying? Vegeta. Vegeta sounds really messed up. But In the movie, and I'm getting right into the movie already, in the movie, Lord Beerus is like, if those two would just fight him together, they would immediately annihilate him. They're like, yeah, but Dick, they wouldn't do that.
Whatever.
Like, this movie, there's so many times when the own characters in the movie call out, well, this would have regressed more like this if this other thing didn't happen. And I actually kind of like that because they're just like, yeah, we know this is ridiculous, but we need to keep the fight going.
in a weird sense, this was like, it's going for the traditional movie formula of Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball usually has like this weird, there's like a mysterious character that no one has ever mentioned before, and he's just lying in the depths of some place. Yep. Then he becomes like this super ridiculous fighter or person that they've never seen before, really. Mm-hmm. And so they end up fighting him. I would have to say my favorite movie was the Broly movie, which is I believe it's one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. But that's the same setup. It's like they're just chilling, and there's like a Super Saiyan that they don't know. They're just stuck in the earth, and then he becomes the superest of Super Saiyans or whatever, and they all have to defeat him. And Frieza.
Isn't that every all the
plot? Yeah. They also have a movie with Cooler, which is the father of Frieza.
Okay.
Which they already have a movie like that. And so this is just sort of like a reminiscing.
Wait, is his name Cooler because it's supposed to be cooler?
Yeah.
And Freezer's like a freezer.
Freezer. Yeah.
That's they're amazing. All on theme.
But then they're all
on
theme.
But then I was like, Cooler. Why is it Cooler? And I was like, Cooler.
Yeah.
I was under the impression, so I've seen all the posters for this movie and stuff, and I didn't know who Frieza was, and I was like, I thought Frieza was a girl this whole time, and I was like, oh, that's a guy, I guess.
No, Frieza has he has definitely a RuPaul Drag Race voice, for sure. Yeah. He has a RuPaul Drag Race look, and then he turns into this shinier version.
Dude, Golden Mode of Frieza was, I know it's dumb, but it's happening now, okay?
Yeah. You know what I think is funny? It's like, it seems like there's always just, like, randomness in Dragon Ball, but then there's always these like minutia of like details of like, he's like, I've never practiced before, but if I practice, I could get to like 3 million in like, you know, a month or two.
And he knows the number of the power that he could get to hypothetically if he did this thing he's never.
They were very, very specific. You gotta understand, Dragon Ball loves their power levels, but like, you gotta understand, like, before it used to be like, remember how it used to only be within like 9,000? You're like, oh, it's over 9,000, and you're like, oh man, he's super powerful. Yeah. Now it's just like, totally ridiculous because it is in the millions.
Yeah,
and
you're why like, why do you even have to mention it at that point?
I don't ever.
I think it's a fan thing. Like, it's just cool to do.
Yeah, it's just like, oh man, that's a quantifiable number that you're like, you can like hold on to, I guess.
Real quick, I'm gonna interject that chat is blown up over here. We're looking, guys. Hey, Gregory and Andre, Andre Drew points out that Coolers is the brother. King Colds is the dad. Which is
that's
even
right.
more hilarious.
That's right.
They're cold. And cool.
Yeah.
King at Colds, some point, somebody's just like, "I'm Ice Machine. That is my name."
I'm Ice Bucket. So yes, you're right. It is King Cold. Thank you for that.
I'm Icicle.
It's been a long time, to tell you the perfect, the honest truth is, I have not watched Dragon Ball Z since it stopped playing on Toonami, like 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago or something.
I feel like, so, for this episode, we just all have to come up with, like, food names. Max is obviously Salts.
Yeah.
I'm Salts, yes.
So are you Peppa? That's our...
No!
Are we the Spice Girls?
Oh, are you a girl?
Oh,
I feel like that's been taken.
All right.
So to get into the movie, Dragon Ball Resurrection F. It is the 19th movie in the series, as I've said before. It's the second movie that was supervised by Akira Toriyama since Battle of the Gods, which was obviously the conclusion. And this is sort of the another just like added segment, because if you really think about it in the timeline. I believe in Super they actually cover this. I haven't gotten to this part yet, but I believe that they have a whole section with this too. But it's also in the sense like, oh, you don't – if this was not a part of the timeline, none of it would be okay. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole point really was to have a movie of like, oh, yeah, if those two could work together – then they would be unstoppable, and then obviously the next arc is
so,
like.
So that was
big
the point of the movie.
I feel like it was because at the end of the day, it's really hard to say there was even a point of the movie
because nothing had consequences. Yeah. Which is the worst part about this movie for me. Even though I thought the movie was fun, I was just like, why do they keep throwing away everything that happens? Like something dramatic happens, and they're like, oh, JK, we can just go meh and fix that.
With
the bean or the balls.
That was
or,
like, yeah. I mean, even in the beginning, they were like, oh yeah, well, like Shenron's like, oh, I can bring Frieza to life, but then it'll be like all the chunks, and I'm just like, why don't you just wish for like a couple seconds before that so he comes back like as whole? Like that seems like you could have been specific with your wish.
Where are
there
the Dragon Balls?
Well, the whole thing with that was like, oh yeah, you can't put them together because when you resurrect him, he's gonna have a bunch of stuff I guess you're right. They
could have specified.
But he was the whole thing was like Trunks literally vaporized him. He wasn't even chunks. He was like dusty pieces. Because if you guys don't know, Frieza is defeated by Goku, obviously. And then he comes back as a part machine, part Frieza guy. And then Trunks comes over and just unceremonially, like, just destroys him. He just cuts him up into little bits and blows him up into pieces because Trunks is a badass. And that's when they introduce Trunks first.
But he came from the future.
He came from the future. Yeah.
He's still a little kid.
In an alternate timeline.
Oh, yeah.
In this, he wasn't even... I don't believe he was born then. I think he was
He was thinking of the gods. The previous movie.
Yes.
As a child.
Yes, as a child, because he is a child.
Right, right.
And so, he's Goten's same age, which is also Goku's second son. Anyway, once again, that's a lot.
Who's the mother?
The mother is Chi-Chi.
Was she in the movie at all?
Actually, I don't remember if she was in the movie. No, she wasn't in the this one.
Okay.
Bulma was in the movie, is the mother of Trunks and also the wife of Vegeta. Okay. But the reason that Bulma is in it more than Chi-Chi is because she actually went on adventures during Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And Chi-Chi really was, like, introduced in Dragon Ball and then just was a housewife for the rest of it.
You know, what I will say about this movie is that it does something that a lot of anime movies suffer from, which is, like, talking in exposition and re-explaining things. This movie's like, nah, you got it.
I think that's a good point, is that this movie doesn't have to explain or set up a new bad guy because it already exists in Frieza was a big force, and they had a really long arc about it in the series. Yeah. It's easy to just, okay, Frieza's back, it's bad, let's just focus on this crazy battle with these CG little bad guys and, you know, get right back into the main battle. So this movie was really all set up just for the two big battles, I feel, which... If you're in a Dragon Ball Z, I think that's kind of what you want.
I think
it's definitely a movie for fans of Dragon Ball Z, because like someone like me, I was just like, okay, I'll just go with it.
It just fills the void of what Battle of the Gods was supposed to be, because it was supposed to be this, you know, return to kind of like the old, you know, there's new Dragon Ball, but it's kind of the old story. It's not GT, which apparently everyone hates, even though it is. I mean, it's technically canon. Apparently, it's not. Like, I don't really care, so if you want to say that's not canon, I'm perfectly fine with that. Yeah. But Akira Toriyama, you know, this is his kind of, like, continuation, and, you know, everyone really wanted that to be that traditional, like, hey, it's fighting, you know, it's, like, that really pure action, And then Battle of the Gods was not that. It was really just more of like a synopsis of like, hey, what's everyone doing? Like, you know, just like an epilogue bonus manga episode or whatever.
Boom.
So this was also a movie that came out in 2015 and April 18th. And also a 3D movie, which I had no clue they made 3D anime movies. So it came out in Japan as a 3D movie.
I thought that
would be pretty freaking amazing.
Thinking back on the, especially the big group battle scene, like how, oh, my camera.
There's a lot of there was a lot of CG in this movie, which I was super surprised about, because you know for the fact that, like, the Dragon Ball games are so like, popular.
Yeah.
That it basically felt like a part of the game just, like, was put into this movie just unceremoniously. It's like you just don't really know like why they sort of interjected that. And then I read that it was 3D, and then I was like, oh, that makes sense. So they just tried to like elaborate the 3D aspect of anime movies, which I think would be a pretty cool idea. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it is so A to B that I can basically sum it up as: Frieza comes back because of the Dragon Balls. He trains. He basically gets into Royal Mode, which I call it Royal Mode. His name is Golden Frieza because he's gold and purple, the colors of regality. And he gets his ass kicked by Goku.
But so people in our chat are just being like, dude, you guys are stupid. If you don't know about Dragon Ball Z, of course you're not going to like the movie. Duh.
That's what we've been saying.
I have to.
I like the movie.
I actually liked a lot of parts of the movie. I think there was this campiness about it that I was like starting to understand because I really have only seen like a couple episodes. We saw the Battle of the Gods and then this, and in this movie it was a lot stronger than Battle of the Gods because it had like, well, first of all, it had a plot and follow through, and like things were important, I guess, in the movie. But just the funny moments were really funny.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of weird shit, like Frieza breaking the fourth wall. He was just like, get out of my way so I can see what's going on. And he's not, it looks like he's talking to the camera.
Right.
Like, but he's actually talking to all the dudes in front of him to move out of the way. But it's very like, you just talking to the camera? Having a very like Saved by the Bell moment. And I thought that was really funny. And there's a lot of stuff like that, which I could just go on and on about. But I think, you know, it had a lot of good quirks, and every time it was campy, they self-addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know I'm gold, but I just thought I think it looked good, and I thought it was really powerful now. So I'm gold now, that's what Frieza said. I was like,
that's
pretty funny.
Yeah.
I feel like, I have to agree. Like, as somebody who's not a fan of DBZ, like, it was the stronger of the movie. The last one we saw, like, it was so forgettable. I can't remember anything from that movie other than Beerus is, like, the cat.
Well, Beerus is the god of destruction, and the reason...
Weiss is awesome. I like that his whole motivation is just food.
Yeah.
And then Beerus gets on board with it in this movie. Like, well, you guys have some good food, I guess.
Yeah, because I feel like I can appreciate it from, like, the very, like, 90s slapstick kind of shonen style. It's, like, not my style, but I think it works that,
it's not supposed to be some thoughtful, amazing movie.
I think the thing is that this movie, because it was supervised by Akira Toriyama, that it still had some of this, like, it wasn't serious, because some of the movies have this problem of being super self-serious. Like, I feel like the Brawley
Super
movie...
Super Saiyan series?
Wow. I need an air horn, or I need flip something right now. But yes, sometimes there's a problem of being, like, super self-serious, and they try to make it, like, into this huge apocalyptic deal. I guess this is kind of apocalyptic in a way. But, like...
But it's so the way like, that
it, yeah, but it shows, like, the Toriyama style, which is, like, he doesn't ever take anything so seriously. That's why there's, like, talking dogs and, like, a little blue midget man and, like, you know, all these different races that kind of don't really fit into the world except that they do. Like, Jocko is actually one of this old Toriyama character that he has his own manga, the Galactic Patrolman.
I loved him. He was great.
And he's from like a really, I don't know if it's like super old, but it's like a manga that he did like kind of between Dr. Slump, around Dr. Slump, maybe a little bit after Dragon Ball, but it's like just one of his characters that he just kind of threw into the world, and he totally works. And he's like a totally silly, useless character.
And like, I think of the people that I really liked, he's like, hey, I'm here to deliver a message and bye, I'm out. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, nice.
And you know, and he has actual reference to everyone. Like, he knows who he doesn't know who Beerus is because he like thinks it's a legend, but he mm-hmm. definitely knows who Frieza is. He knows yeah. all mm-hmm. the Super Saiyans, so he in a way he can like do exposition mm-hmm. without yeah. it seeming weird. Yeah. Because yeah.
And then he always ends it with, but that's not supposed to happen, so I'm just not gonna report this. A lot of paperwork. And that yeah. was yeah. I think that's really cute, like
yeah.
I felt like the so let's talk about the dub real quick. I felt like the dubbing was like quite good. Like I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
No.
And I felt like the jokes were I could see where in Japanese they'd be like fall like pretty flat, but like yeah. there's just stuff like my computer died, so I wrote down the word. Frieza says that like when he first gets put back together, like I'm feeling very like supercilious, salacious. He uses some
salacious
some word that's long. Someone find it on the internet for me. and then they're like, I don't know what that means, sir. And then he's like, oh, the definition is like they just do.
Wait, did you guys both watch a dub?
Yeah,
I did it.
Okay, so the thing about the dub is I grew up with the dub. And so to me, it feels weird to eat. Not that I haven't heard the Japanese voices. It's just mm-hmm. that's what I'm used to. And so for me, that dub is really more of like a nostalgic thing, even mm-hmm. if it's not the greatest. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, the Dragon Ball dub was – it had its moments of like really terribleness. But for uh-huh. the most part, it was good. Yeah. I thought it was uh-huh. good. You know, it was my first experience in good dub.
Andrew Drew – so I'm using my phone to look on the internet now. Andrew Drew said that he thinks the Japanese voices weren't – they don't feel – they don't feel he doesn't feel like they match, but maybe mm-hmm. that's because I mean a lot of us grew up watching
yes.
the dub.
English. Yeah. But also, from what I've been hearing, I don't know if this is true or not. It would be really ridiculous, but the voice actress for Goku is actually getting super old, aww. And so they're afraid that she's going to die. And instead of you replace her, they're trying to just make it kind of Vegeta's story from now on.
Oh my god,
which is the same thing actually.
Yeah, which is kind of. It kind of makes sense because Goku's character is so overpowered and mm-hmm. one-dimensional. Vegeta is way more interesting mm-hmm. to a certain extent. But hopefully that's – I don't want her to die. But apparently she must be pretty old if that's like something that they have to consider. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of interesting to have a franchise where it's had this one voice. And instead of just replacing the voice actress that yeah. with someone that sounds yeah. similar, they're just like, let's yeah. just write like, the character into, you know, whatever, yeah, godhood
it's
or something.
It's kind of like saying, like, because, you know, Walt Disney was the original voice of Mickey. It's yeah. like saying, like, well, he's dead and we can no longer do Mickey. It's like something very weird. But I yeah. know what you're talking about because I've heard the same exact thing of like, oh, she's really old, so she might die. Yeah. We're just going to shift.
It's just yeah. like... I mean, you can see how important it is. Like, voice actors and their connection to the characters is so much more important in Japan than it is here, obviously. Yeah. So, like, something like that is so, like, so it sounds so severe for us. Like, you couldn't just recast, but it's like, no, like, she is Goku. Like, you couldn't, yeah. you can't replace someone who is Goku.
Which I love. Yeah. I love that idea. Because it is, you're right, like, you're giving them respect. Mm-hmm. And I think voice acting is one of those things that are, like, really hard to do. Even for the dubs, even mm-hmm. the only problem is sometimes they don't put enough money into it or time into it. And that's always been kind of the problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of cool to, like, see that happen. And if there's one thing about this movie, especially with the whole Frieza thing, Vegeta thing, it kind of makes sense because... In this one, Vegeta doesn't do that much,
mm-hmm.
but he's still super interesting, way more interesting than Goku. Goku's just the dude that fought him, but like Frieza is the one that provokes Vegeta specifically. It's like, hey, don't you want revenge on the man who basically took your planet and mm-hmm. destroyed it for fun?
But apparently, Lord Beerus is the one who like ordered that, and they're like, just be quiet.
Yeah, let's just not mention that.
Jesus Christ, Beerus.
But Beerus is supposed to be a destroyer. That's his whole thing. So, and so the fact that he's just like, I don't really care about revenge. And, you know, he gave him that whole thing. It's like, hey, if you kill Kakarot, then I will like, give you a place in my, like, harem. It's not harem, council of super leaders or whatever, you know? And he's like, eh, not really. You know, like, he's my rival. The only reason I've gotten this strong was because aww. Goku existed, which is as close as to we are friends that he will ever
they held
get
hands.
To.
That was very cute.
It's true.
He was very, like, buddies. He's so, like, tsundere to the max.
Yeah.
I like that, like, that tension of, like, we could defend all these people if we just got along, but also, like, we could also destroy each other, but we don't hate each other enough.
Yeah. I think in a weird way, this movie is very poignant because it addresses a lot of things that they don't really ever address in the series. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, Goku, there's a point when Goku's just like, I'm just going to die. Like, I'm just going to stay dead because clearly all these people are coming to fight me, which was in the Dragon Ball Z series, and then he got revived again, and so now he's just alive. But, like, his problem has always been the fact that he just is way super overconfident, and so he'll fight someone wanting to fight, but then he'll leave them alive. And then, of course, they go out and they wreck face, and they come back way stronger and kill a ton more people. So it's like, that's always been his problem. He eventually always defeats them, but that's sort of like this vicious cycle of like, oh man, like, you're messing stuff up, but not just ending it, you know, like right then and there.
Yeah, but there's no consequences because you just gotta find the Dragon Balls and wish for everybody back into existence.
Ba-bum.
Yeah.
And if you're almost dead, eat a bean. Like, what the fuck? That damn bean.
A sensu bean. How dare you? That's a traditional...
of which they have
Ex Machina,
unlimited supply of.
Yes. Which they don't. He was
it
just like
I
had. He was like, I have six beans.
That's so many. To just have.
Yeah.
But that's so many.
It's like
strong
all the
beans.
Phoenix down in the world.
but then you eat one and they're gone. You know, it's like.
But he has six of them
in this movie. Like, he could have had six in his lifetime.
To be fair,
it's like he just pulled it out of his pocket.
It's a show. It's a show about fighting constantly. If there wasn't something that was just like, here, take this, and you get to replenish all these things in an instant, Dragon Ball Z would be much longer than it actually was. It would be like 12 episodes of charging, and then 12 episodes of having to just sit down for a little while.
No, because then bitches would be dead. They'd be dead. So it's kind of like. If someone is almost dead...
Not if they're revived.
If they're close to death, and then they're immediately revived in 3 seconds, what's the point of even beating them up?
Yeah.
Like, exactly, like... So, we'll talk about the end of the movie a little bit, because this whole thing is, like... It got really serious for a second. I was like, whoa, that was crazy. They really just... They destroyed the world.
Yeah.
But then they're like, JK, remember how I said I could, like, go back in time 3 seconds or 3 minutes? And, like, he just goes back. It's like, there's no point. Like, what's the point?
The point is the fact that they, you know, they learn a lesson. That's the whole point. Because, okay, at this point, Goku and Vegeta are some of, like, the strongest people, people, beings that aren't gods on the face of the universe that we know of course, until the next bad guy from outer space. And he's just, like, a Cthulhu monster from the void. But the fact of the matter is they have basically just done whatever they wanted to, which is, like... you know, battle. They just want to battle and battle and battle, and they don't really do a lot of protecting. You know, they're kind of the selfish heroes of the earth.
Well, it's because there's literally no consequences. I think it's just kind of the reason why, like, I don't think I could get into deep to Dragon Ball, because it's just like, they build you up, and I can't really invest in these people, because just like, they're like, well, let's just rewind that, and, you know, none of it happened. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's not a payoff.
Like, has anyone ever stayed dead in this series?
Yeah, people. Well, that's the whole thing about the Dragon Balls, right?
But why? You know, like, they can just all come back.
Wish them
There's always a journey that's involved. Like, you know, Goku couldn't just come back to life. He had to go through, the Dragon Road in the beginning.
But now he
doesn't need a bean. He's dead. He can't eat the bean. He just needs the Dragon Balls.
He just needs to be wished back into existence and given a bean.
Originally, if memory serves correct, you could only revive a person one time. Uh-huh. So the reason that they're able to revive these people again at this point is because there used to be another set of Dragon Balls in the planet Namek. Right, and they used to be they have their own version of the dragon, which makes wishes, but it gives them two wishes. It's two or three, and so basically it died, and it went. The powers kind of transferred to Earth.
Why don't they just wish the other dragon to come back to life?
Because that is too powerful.
Or wish the other one out of existence.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. I understand there's a lot of holes in this, okay?
That's a problem when you introduce
usually,
super OP stuff.
Okay,
like
sure. But usually, they're scattered across the Earth, and there's only a couple of people that are able to get them quickly, and that is Goku and Vegeta.
I thought those three little kids found it.
those aren't little kids. Those are actually the original bad guys from the Dragon Ball, from the first Dragon Ball. And what they did was they wished for youth, and what happened was they turned into children. So they're actually adults.
That's kind
of
great.
Except one of them is Trunks' girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she's, like, probably, like, 45 or something. So yeah, that was a little weird, and that was from
the
previous movie. Anyway, I mean, if the body, anyway. So yes, It's powerful and, mm-hmm. and it's weird, mm-hmm. but that's what makes this world great.
Okay,
great. That's you
Let's
know like
trying to make sense of anime.
Yeah, no. You don't want to try to like 100% think about this. This isn't supposed to be like lore heavy.
This is not
and like
a...
put together. You watch it for the fights. Kay. What did you think of the fights?
Kay.
The fight was amazing.
Okay, I didn't watch a lot of the. It was like took a long time.
What did you? Just, are okay. you? Just, you
well,
switched?
Okay. I liked the big, the hundreds of his army fighting against, like, you know, whatever, like, seven dudes.
Yeah, it was cool to see all the
I
old
like,
gang.
I enjoyed that a lot better than Goku's main battle, because it was kind of like,
so, feel free to kill me, people, but I feel like if you've seen one Dragon Ball fight, you've seen all of them. They're all the same. I'm literally just sitting here like, okay. But it's kind of, I mean, to be fair, I love Naruto. It's kind of the same. You've seen one fight, it's always the same. They get a new power, and shit blows up, and it's just power up
and
Madara
dies, and then they don't.
No, all of Shikamaru's fights are amazing.
Oh, shit.
And he uses his brain. and, you know, lots of...
But no, that's what makes him an interesting character. This is not a thinking
series. To be fair, Dragon
Ball
is necessarily always... You know, like the grace. But I have to say, from Battle of the Gods, where it was kind of like super one dude trying to fight against the god, and it was kind of like, eh, whatever, not. Mm. But this one, in terms of animation, tried to like harness what it used to mean, what a Dragon Ball fight used to be, which is a lot of the high flying, going through like a lot of environmental destruction, going through mountains, punching them through like into lava. You know, and punching him into space, stuff like that. And I thought they did a really good job, especially with 2D animation and some of the 3D animation. So I thought it was an excellent fight.
I like all of his name, Jocko.
Like Taco, but
Taco,
with a
but
J.
Jocko. I really like Jocko's parts of the big battle army fight because it was just like he does like Bruce Lee shit, and then he. Is just running away from a bunch of guys, and then he jumps in the water, and there just happens to be a giant, like, sea serpent fish. Is that, like, a character from something that we should know?
No, that's just some of the like, wildlife.
So a wildlife eats a bunch of guys, and I was like, this is pretty good. I liked it.
It's a weird world. There's dinosaurs in this world, too, by the way.
The rules to this world is that there's no rules.
Exactly.
Hey, what happened to Goku's little cloud he used to go on all the time?
Yeah.
He didn't really.
That's a
good question.
He doesn't need Nimbus anymore because
he can fly.
He can fly himself.
Where is Nimbus?
He can also instantly transport. By the way,
I like how they're like just transport. He's like, but I have to concentrate in the movie.
That's true. Yeah.
He's like, but I need to be focused.
I feel like
just, like just figure it out. I like Bulma a lot in this movie. She's just like, get your shit together. Put it in a backpack, get it together. We gotta go.
Sell it
at the shit store.
There's always really, like, convenient explanations for really, like, crazy things. Like, oh, yeah, World Destroyed? Three minutes, we're good, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is like,
fair,
how did you fly to market transfer?
To be fair.
But it's hard.
Did you expect the world to blow up? Even though they introduced the actual device, like, mm-hmm. way early on in the beginning. You remember that.
Right.
The three-second
thing.
Yeah, but did you expect the whole world to be destroyed?
No, but I did expect him to use it at some point.
Yes,
at the
I
very
did too.
End. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like,
but I knew that was happening. Mm-hmm. I just didn't expect it to be that grandiose. And mm-hmm. and the whole thing is it's like the point was if you guys got your shit together, if Vegeta and Goku could mm-hmm. just put their shit aside, they could be the strongest warrior just
so
hands
that is
down.
The point of the
And
movie.
That was the point.
Yes.
And it's definitely always about their egos getting in the way of, like, some sort of actual prosperity and protection. So it's like, you guys are like children. Y'all children.
You're effing it up.
You're
for
messing it up for everybody. So that was basically the movie.
Dragon Ball Z.
And obviously, Frieza gets destroyed. And that's it. Like, Goku just is like, okay, no more mercy for this dude. And just, boom, annihilates him. And then he goes back to hell. Which is the end.
The endos.
So,
but at least it was only an hour and a half. Commend you, hour
yes.
and a half movies. It wasn't 2 hours, which a lot of anime movies are always just so
2 hours.
Long.
Yeah,
there's just too many
long.
Meetings. But this one did not suffer from the meeting plague of
anime. I feel like, I will say, that was a plus for me. The moment that I started playing this, I was like, an hour and 30 minutes. I was so excited.
Yeah. We've been doing short this job and a little sweet. Bit too long.
It was like, short oh my and God, sweet.
Guys. 90 minutes.
And it wasn't that terrible live action movie that you may have made us watch about the BDSM and
to
weirdness.
To be fair, I told Max earlier, I was like, abuse. I can't even hate on this movie because the movie that I picked
was
so bad that like nothing will ever be as bad
as
that movie.
So if you guys look at like our previous, maybe 3 episodes ago, we did
Wolf Girl and the Black Prince,
the live action of that.
That's terrible.
It is dog shit.
Yeah.
I can't express that enough. So, luckily, you know, I would just say, you know, like, let's just rate it right now. What do you guys
think? Sure.
What do you think? What do you think?
Okay. 1, 2, 3. I'm neutral.
I'm neutral.
I say watch it. Dragon Ball, if you like Dragon Ball, it's a very good Dragon Ball
movie. See, here we go again.
Yeah.
If you X, then Y. So, yes, if you love Dragon Ball, of course, watch it. It's fun. All your dudes come back to life and
retirement. It's got strong nostalgia, but if you're not into Dragon Ball,
make any sense at all.
It's not awful, but it's not, like, the best thing, so I don't really...
Sure.
Because there's no introduction of anything. But that's not the point of the movie.
But it's not shitty. So I think you guys should take that from this conversation.
It's well written for what it's supposed
to be. It's entertaining enough.
Yeah.
And if you...
we have so many qualifiers out here.
For someone who likes Dragon Ball and you just want like a little tidbit of like some character development. Mm-hmm. And I say little tidbit because it's only that part. That little part where there's like, you guys should work together. And they're like, nah. That's still, like, pretty good development, at least for their characters, after so many years of not really having it. And that's what I think. So we're just going to – I guess let's just talk about the anime season.
Fall anime season.
So fall anime season. It's been a while. It's been 3 episodes, and we haven't really – there's so many things that are good out right now. And we decided because this was kind of short and sweet, we should also just sort of like
– talk about the season.
Talk about
so
what
y'all,
we like.
If y'all are not on the Crunchyroll boat – or the Funimation boat. You should get on those boats.
You should get on those boats.
They have all the
those are. That's literally the only boats that exist now.
Yeah.
So you
well,
should
there's
definitely
some, there's
be
some
on
shit
that
on Netflix
boat.
Where they're like, it's exclusive to Netflix. I'm like, Netflix, you do not make 7 Deadly Sins. Settle the fuck down.
Yeah.
Sorry. But anyway, I'm all about Yuri on Ice.
Yes.
Yuri on Ice is fantastic.
Animate everything beautifully when they feel like it. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but
not all
most of
the time.
It's really great. Just a fun plot where they actually do kind of focus on skating, but there's a lot of like subtle BL shit thrown in there.
Yeah,
yeah. Luckily, this. I mean, I like a good story. Like, no matter what, it can be BL, whatever. It could be about dudes swimming. I don't give a shit. Or it can be about volleyball, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, as long as there's a good story, I like it. And this one has a good story and doesn't shove. Like the BL fan fiction in your face. Yeah. There's like subtleties, but it also has subtleties like that are more real life. Maybe a dude is gay and maybe he's like falling in love with his teacher. But like
the main story is not that.
Yeah, that's not the focus. The focus is like discovering yourself and discovering what your art is about.
I cry like in every episode. Actually,
it's very dramatic.
Every time, like, I'm just like, oh, shit, he found some shit up himself. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, he found himself.
I think also, like, it does the best thing that, like, sports anime does, where it explains everything to great detail. Because I've watched figure skating most of my life, and, like, having what a triple salchow is explained to me, I'm like, oh,
and I know how it's spelled now, because it's subtitled. I'm like, oh, it's spelled like Sachow? I had no idea.
Yeah, Salchow. Because it's named
axis.
After...
I always thought it was spelled
triple axel.
Axel, turn, whatever. I don't care. It's
and fine. Then if you watch it, you can tell what male figure skaters they're actually referencing.
Yeah, this is some real
shit.
Yeah,
like,
so,
you know the main guy is Yevgeny Plyshenko. You know.
Yeah, and his... So, if you guys don't know who that is, and if you know anything about figure skating, just Google it, you'll get some laughs. Mm. He's a very flamboyant figure skater, very entertaining. His choreographer actually choreographed the stuff for this... For this show, for Yuri on Ice, and like that's pretty. It's a very self-referential. It's very funny. And if you look on his Facebook, he plugs it every week. He talks about every episode.
That's
really
fantastic.
Funny. Yeah. So Yuri on Ice.
So
what
about you? I mean, besides Yuri, because we already got that. We all like Yuri.
Other,
I get it. What about you?
You love
that. Well, you know what? I've also been watching Poco's Udon
World. Yay!
Just because it's. I mean, it's
cute.
A little like. raccoon kid and udon, so it's food. I'm like,
to be fair, cute. They haven't gotten to the udon yet.
They haven't.
Where the hell is the udon?
It wasn't about the udon. You know, it's in a food anime. It's about that tanuki kid.
I have noticed that there's this trend all year of like of father figures or young fathers with children and no mother. It's like making food. Sweetness and Lightning was like that.
Which
like
was fantastic.
There was like another one that was kind of like father figure with like a young girl.
Yeah.
Yotsubato. That's very old.
Yes. Oh, Yotsuba. Yeah, that's very old.
I
love
it. I'm still reading Yotsuba. Really good. It's some worthy manga to catch up on if y'all have not been catching up on that.
What else have you been watching?
So my recommendation is Keijo. No, I'm just kidding.
Get out.
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. I read the manga. I did actually read the Keijo manga for a little while, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because like, you're reading it for the stories.
But you gotta understand, it's not really like sexy in any way either, because their bodies deform, like their asses like start protruding out of their like.
So Keijo is a very, if you don't know what it is, Keijo is a very fan service-y series about girls who use their assets to knock each other off platforms. Yeah, in a pool.
It's like a gambling sport. There was a game.
It's like American,
beach volleyball.
It's more like American Gladiator, like, but with your
dead
butt
or
in your
alive.
Boots.
Yeah. It's yeah. Dead or Alive has it like a game like this. So it's like supposed to be one of those like risque pool games. And I don't know. I think it's to a certain extent. I think it's interesting because they take this really ridiculous premise and they could probably just be like fan fiction with aliens or fan fiction with mechas, which they just do every season. And this one just like, here's fan fiction, but we're going to make it ridiculous sports. Which, if you're going to try to sell that on me, make it ridiculous.
So what do you like from this season?
Okay, but what I really like from this season is actually Occultic 9.
What?
Occultic 9.
I'm not watching that shit.
I've not watched that.
Occultic 9 is a horror series from kind of the from these really well known visual novel series. Mm-hmm. Like you've seen Steins Gate,
yes,
or Chaos Head, or Robotic Notes.
Yeah.
And so I think this one is a light novel from what I remember. Steins Gate was, I believe, either a light novel or visual novel, but. Basically, it's like these really cool and weird, interesting stories, and they have a very specific style. And Occultic 9 is there's always like psychology, science, and then the other one was, I guess, science again, and this one's horror. And it just follows like this group of characters that kind of get wrapped up into this horror mystery, and then it kind of leads to this incident where a bunch of people just commit suicide in a lake. And so that's the main thing. It's like they're trying to like – so there's this thing, this mystery brewing, and all of these people that are kind of in the beginning are like, oh, the occult is like this kind of like false thing that everyone's trying to prove. But these characters start becoming really like involved with each other. And also this kind of overarching mystery of like what is the actual like magic? Is it like some sort of ritual or something? Like it all starts kind of coming together through these individual characters.
Is that on Crunchyroll?
It's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, I must have scrolled right past it.
Yeah, I must have scrolled past it.
If you don't really know like Steins Gate, then you wouldn't really follow this series. Or like if you don't know Robotics Notes, but it's. I think I know it because of the kind of game portion in Steins Gate. But I also watched Chaos Head because it was about a dude and he had imaginary psycho swords. It was great.
What?
Psychic swords. Anyway, so the point is it's really interesting. It's very beautifully animated. It kind of has like a Monogatari, if anyone has ever seen that. It has like this weird like directional sense too. So there's a psychic and she has this invisible person that's the devil.
Okay.
But it's actually a floating spirit. Like, there's, like, a bunch of stuff.
You're not really good at explaining quickly plots, are you?
So.
It sounds good. Sounds good.
I would definitely watch it.
Horror.
It's super interesting, and I feel like there's, like, not a lot of good horror out there, and it's definitely worth checking out if you're into that type of genre.
Yeah.
Fall
anime. That's like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more we got to talk about.
Yeah.
We can't, but it's. Yeah. You guys are not on the internet and looking at anime this season. You are missing out.
But
I've had like three people come up to me or on the internet just come up to me and be like, you know, like you're really, you know, all about anime. Like I don't feel like there's like any good anime this season. I'm like, get out. Have you even looked it out? Google.
Yeah, there's a lot.
For whatever
ails you, right? So it's like there's Haikyuu's out.
There's a lot of different
genres
out.
This one called Branky. It's a 3D anime. With the character designer for No More Heroes and Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really like the Dangerous Life of Psychic. Like, it's on Funimation. Uh-huh. It's just little shorts. It's like, I want to say it's like 10 minutes. But it's just about this kid who's got psychic powers. And it's freaking ridiculous. Like, he just has psychic powers and decides that he wants to go to school. And all these things happen around him. And, like, the most popular girl really likes him, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with her.
Wait, is it the dude with the pink hair and he has the little antennas? That's a Shonen Jump one.
Yeah, they're making a live-action movie of it next year. But it's, like, ridiculous.
It's really silly.
Yeah, and the artwork is terrible, but that's, like, the charm.
So, wait, no, we're not all watching Gakko and Handsome? Is that what we're saying? Gakko and Handsome is amazing. It's based off of this game that was like a joke, so it takes all the tropes of a dating sim game. So it's a BL one. So you're a boy who goes to this handsome high school with a bunch of handsome guys, but instead of being handsome, they have like really long chins.
It's like
they're
drawn really poorly.
Yeah, it's like if you were like 10 and you wanted to have like a BL person, you know, like you're like my handsome man.
Yeah, it's literally like a 10-year-old's DeviantArt.
It's how to draw manga.
Yeah, it's so bad.
The anime, but it's only 10 minutes long, and it's a comedy. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, the stuff that happens is just all tropes and hilarious and, you know, pretty good.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, that's about as much time as we have.
Yep.
So, where can we find everybody?
I'm Chubby Bunny. You can find me on the internet at I Am Chubby Bunny.
I am Yuma Ninja. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Yuma Ninja.
And you can find me at Max Salts on the everything. And I believe, what are we doing next week?
I will think about that.
It's a
mystery. So just join us Tuesday at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
It'll be a surprise. All right. See you next week, guys. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.